Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Medani Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikash Singh from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to everyone on Q1 FY27 Medani Mishra Dhatu Nigam Limited conference call. We would like to thank the management to give us the opportunity to host them. From the management side, we have with us Dr. SVS Narayanamurthy, Chairman and Managing Director, Mrs. Madhubala Kalluri, Director of Finance, and Mr. Padavithan Babu, Director of Production and Marketing. Without taking any much time, I'll hand it over to Murthy sir for his opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone, to all our respected investors, colleagues. I'm joined here by Director of Finance, Director of Production and Marketing, GM Finance, and Company Secretary. We are pleased to welcome to this investor conference call. The detailed financial results for Q1 of FY26-27 have already been disclosed and are available with all of you, so I'll not be going in detail line by line. However, I'd like to take a few minutes to highlight some of the key operational and strategic milestones achieved during the first quarter, which we believe mark an important step forward for Medani. To begin with, Q1 of FY26-27 has been particularly significant. We have achieved a turnover of 239.49 crore during the quarter, registering a growth of 40.46% over the same quarter last year. More importantly, the value of production during the quarter stood at 260.36 crore, with a growth of 7.9% against the corresponding quarter of previous year. We are also encouraged by the profitability numbers of Q1. PBT rose by 25.89% to 23.92 crore, while profit after tax increased by 27.42% to 16.31 crore over the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The EBITDA for the quarter stood at 46.6 crore, showing a healthy growth of 12.89%, and our PAT for the year rose by 27.42% to 16.31 crore. Our order book position as on 1st July 2026 stood at 2,329 crore, providing good visibility for coming quarters. I just want to share some of the interesting things that we have done in this particular quarter. Most importantly, we are very happy to share that on 13th August, Medani has received S-400 certification from General Electric, USA, for testing of mechanical, chemical, and metallography of test specimens. With this, Medani can do testing for all our customers, including our own, whatever material we are supplying. This marks a very major significant step for Medani. And we have also qualified our non-destructive testing personnel for NAS 410. This particular certification is essential for obtaining NADCAP certificate in non-destructive testing. So by the end of this financial year, we are planning to have this certificate, and we are in the process of obtaining the same. And we are also looking for two more important certificates. One is called ISO 27001 for information security management, and another is ISO 50001, energy management system. So we would like to have these two certificates in this financial year. We have also conducted one seminar on artificial intelligence because we know that artificial intelligence is going in a big way, and how AI can be used in metallurgical processing industries, particularly for a specialized super alloy and titanium alloy plant like Medani. So we have conducted a seminar on this AI in metallurgical industry on 17th of July, and we have got very good response, and we have exchanged a lot of information from a lot of professors from IITs, and we are in the process of implementing some of those interesting things. Another interesting thing that I would like to share is isothermal forging for fighter aircraft program. So one of the nickel-based super alloy that is there in fighter aircraft engine, we have successfully isothermally forged in 6,000-ton press that Medani has, and we have initiated, we have got orders for 4 grades of super alloys and 3 grades of titanium alloys, which we will be taking up in this financial year. And I would also like to tell that Medani has successfully rolled 7000 series aluminum alloy for one of the PSUs, and this is the first commercial order that we have booked for rolling of aluminum. Normally, aluminum we don't process in within Medani, but we have a white plate mill where the ingot that has been supplied by our customer, we have rolled it to a significant length and width, and this we have supplied successfully. It is meeting all the requirements. And another point that I would like to highlight is one of the technologies that we have taken from DRDO IIT Delhi, that is called bulletproof jacket. Its name is Abed. The technology was taken and we are already fabricated the jackets, and jackets are under testing, and hope we will be ready with all the test certificates by next quarter. So this is another thing. And the spring plant that we have in our campus, we have it started working, and we have received sample order from BEML. And we hope to book many more orders in this financial year. And one of the preliminary licenses that we were looking from BAFA, that is German Export License Clearing Agency, for metal powder, preliminary license has been obtained, and we hope that this particular equipment will be in our campus maybe by next year. So these are the some of the interesting things I thought I'll share with all of you. And in closing, I want to sincerely thank all our investors and stakeholders for the continued trust and support. And with that, I think I now open the floor for your questions, and we'll be happy to take questions along with my colleagues here. Thank you so much for giving this opportunity.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Ajinkya Jadhav with Chris Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations management on the great health of the growth on the top line. My first question is regarding the approval that we got from the G for the S-400. If you can clarify, like, what's the nature of this certification, how it will benefit Medani in terms of, you explained like the testing, so how it will benefit actually.
Okay. So thank you. Actually, this particular certificate, it is called S-400, and this is given by General Electric. And basically, as a part of testing, any of the material that companies make, GE demands mechanical testing, that is mechanical property evaluation, room temperature, elevated temperature and stress structure, and chemical composition analysis and metallography, that microstructure and grain size. These things are essential. And this particular certificate enables Medani to test the specimens under these three categories of mechanical, chemical and metallography of our customers. So anybody in India who are making materials, we can, ours is an authorized lab, and we are the only lab for both room temperature, high temperature, chemical analysis and metallography. So a lot of demand is there. Now exports are going and a lot of people are supplying materials, and with our expertise and with this approval, we'll be able to generate revenue from all our customers who are interested. And earlier, hitherto people used to go for abroad, they used to spend specimens abroad and get it tested. Now it can be done within the country. So it is a very good opportunity to Medani to generate revenue.
Got it. So here, do we have to share some revenue with the GE for that?
No, not required. It will be, we will be advertising our rates for this S-400 certificate. Anybody who wants, not only within India, we are now approved, so even from abroad specimens can come here and we can test and we can give the certificate.
Got it. Yeah. My second question is regarding, like, on the top line, our growth was phenomenal, but if you look at the gross margin, there was a good amount of a compression. So, like, Any reason for that? Like, was that related to some RM price hike or anything else?
Yeah, apart from raw material prices, this quarter we were hit by fuel prices. This LPG, because of prices of war prices, LPG prices were increased, almost doubled. That is one major factor for the reduction in percentage of profit.
So, can we expect like this margin compression to get normalized in the Q2 and subsequent quarters?
Q2 may be little bit hit will be there, but Q3 we are hope that we will be coming to normal state.
Okay. So like
Just to add to what Director of Finance has told, our furnaces are LPG-fired. Our reheating and reheating furnaces are LPG-fired, and as you identified, this particular top line growth is there, whereas bottom line growth will be a little lower. It is because it is attributed to this LPG crisis in the first quarter. Maybe it may be little into the second quarter, will be, I mean, we hope that the situation will normalize in the third quarter onwards.
Okay. And the last question from my end, like, is how much do we realize from the scrap sale in the first quarter? Like, how much is the sellable and non-sellable scrap inventory that is with us, and like, how much of it we can recycle?
In this first quarter, we made considerable reduction in the scrap cost, scrap value, and we hope that we will continue same tempo like last time.
20.
Around 17 crores we reduced inventory, scrap inventory.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I will join back the queue.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Jain with Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for opportunity and congrats for the strong set of numbers. Sir, my first question on the key raw materials prices, such as the titanium, nickel, and the cobalt, how has that impacted your margin because of the volatility in the recent months, particularly on the fixed price defense contract?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Abhishek, could you please use your handset and
Louder.
Ask the question?
Just
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. So my first question on that, raw materials prices. So given the recent volatility and the key RMs like, titanium, nickel, and the cobalt, how has this impacted your margin, particularly on the fixed price defense contracts? And, to what extent, can the proposed metal ban provide a cushion against raw materials price volatility and protect your margin?
These raw material prices, like nickel, moly, and tungsten, majority items increased very abnormally. It has impacted us in the first quarter around 13 crores in terms of price variance, adverse price variance.
Okay.
With respect to metal bank, we are already in the advanced stage of procurement of raw materials with respect to one customer. Balance customers, it is in progress.
Okay.
We are hopeful by second quarter, end of second quarter, we will get further clarity and further procurements of metal bank stocks.
Got it. And sir, the supply of the key raw materials was the key constraint of your growth, as that metal you have also proposed for the metal bank, so that will also sort out the issue related with the supply of the raw materials. So just wanted to understand what kind of the growth you are looking after this stage, after setting up the metal bank.
Yeah, there are two points. Basically, one is availability, second is cost. Whether raw materials are available in the market or not, or whether there are delays in the procurement. Second thing is the cost. As Madam has told Director of Finance, the cost has increased, particularly with moly, tungsten, and nickel, okay, and little in cobalt also. But thing is, we are able to get the materials, but metal bank will certainly help in taking care of these delayed supplies as well as abnormally high costs.
Got it. So, sir, in this quarter, we have seen a very significant growth of around 40%, Y-on-Y. And so just wanted to understand what kind of the growth you are looking in the FY 2027, because of that, this supply issue are sorted out.
We'll be maintaining the FY 2025-2026 growth, and we'll be looking for higher only, okay? In spite of whatever this LPG and raw material things are there, we expect it to be higher than what we have achieved last financial year.
Okay. So can we expect that around 40% kind of the run rate that will continue in the coming quarter as well, and margin will start to improve from the second half onwards?
40% in, like, what we achieved in Q1 level at the year level, that is not practicable. So, but however, definitely, as CMD sir has said, that we are working out, and definitely it will be better than the last year. That is what we are expecting.
Okay, okay. And sir, as you're placing AC manual equipment from the 1980s with the advanced automated machinery, so just wanted to understand how this will benefit and what type of the yield improvement can we expect after this?
Yeah, question.
The question was not clear. Can you repeat it, please?
Sir, just you are replacing legacy manual equipment from the 1980s with the advanced automated machinery.
Okay.
Once downstream modernization projects are fully implemented, what level of the yield improvement do you expect, and how much EBITDA margin expansion could be because of these initiatives? Just wanted to understand on the top line growth and the EBITDA margin expansion because of the replacing your machines with the advanced automated machine.
Yeah, yeah. It is very much required. Actually, the old machines, you know, anyway, it is not as of now old. Most of the things keep on, we are updating, but it is not exactly the new one, what is available in the market, it is not matching. So still there is a lot of things to be changed. Instead of that, there may be a new machine will give better, what you said, that yield and time reducing, and with that, the revenue will sure it will go up. So we are on the job now.
Okay, got it. And sir, on the titanium side, you had a, you doubled your production around 700 tons. So I just wanted to understand what would be the contribution from the titanium over the next two, three years, and what kind of the benefit we can see in the margin terms?
Yeah, one is titanium. We have in last year, we have inaugurated a new titanium melting facility, where we have increased the production capacity. And we have currently last year, we made around 700 tons of
Melting.
Tons of melting, and we expect it to grow. And titanium, lot of orders are there currently also, maybe worth about 600 crores worth of orders are there, and we expect it to increase only. So we have planned to fully utilize the additional capacity as well as the existing capacity, whatever we have already having, and it will be increasing significantly. We also have participated in other orders related to titanium, and there is significant interest.
Okay. And what is the difference in the margin of the titanium versus the other alloys?
No, titanium and superalloy will be little higher compared to special steel. So that is the difference.
Okay.
Yeah, will be, if you see, even last financial year also, means slowly we are growing, our contribution coming from superalloy and titanium is higher compared to earlier, the low alloy steel or stainless steel, those things. So now we expect, means, of course, the processing time and the availability of material, all those things, challenges are also there. Still, we are working on to ensure more from this titanium and superalloy.
Okay, got it, sir. And my last question on the CapEx side. So just you are planning to 1,000 crore CapEx for the next three years. So what would be the incremental revenue EBITDA can we expect from these CapEx at full utilization level?
The CapEx immediately may not turn into reality, because project what we are expecting is having a little bit long lead time of supply as well as installation. Post that, we will definitely achieve the improvement in the top line.
So, can you quantify some numbers on that, how much if we are doing around 1,000 crore of the CapEx, what would be the asset turnover from that business?
No, this 1,000 crore, not exactly additional facility we are going to put. Means whatever existing we are getting revenue, plus that one will come. Actually, this will be like a combination. The existing one, something we may be, means keeping it idle and maybe using the new one. So whatever now presently we are telling, compared to last year, will be improving. In that way, only coming 2-3 years it will go. The real thing will come after 4 or 5 years, once it is stabilized. So at present, it is difficult to say any numbers.
Thank you, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Nishita with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So I had a few questions. One is on the margins. So you mentioned that from Q3, we can go back to the normalized margins. So can we expect that from Q3, we can get back to the 20%-21% of EBITDA margins?
Yes. Yes, we can expect. Only because of these little raw material
LPG.
And LPG issues only, that it was little lower bottom line. Otherwise, from Q3, we'll get stabilized, and we hope we'll be achieving the same margins.
Right. Okay. And my next question is on our order books. So if you can quantify what is our current order book, that would be great.
Yeah.
No, we are having around 2,300 crore order book.
Okay. And can you bifurcate the order book? Like you mentioned, 600 crores of
around defense, 66%.
Sorry?
Defense sector, whatever we order got from defense.
Okay, defense is 66%.
Yeah, then space, ISRO, that is 21%.
Okay.
And energy is 9%.
Okay.
And others, 4%.
Okay, understood. And my next question is, like, you mentioned that the bulletproof jacket, we've already fabricated the jacket and we are on the trial, and that the sales will start by next quarter. So, if you could give some sort of sense on what kind of revenues we can expect from the bulletproof jacket in FY 2027?
Yeah, currently we are in the process of testing, because it involves very, very severe testing. Okay, so we have to fabricate and take it to testing and fire bullets, and that certificate is very important. And we expect that to be completed in this quarter. Okay, testing to be completed. And the orders will be coming periodically from services. Okay, CRPF or BSF, these people are even state police, and we will be participating. Once this jacket is qualified, we'll be giving sample jackets to the interested people, and we'll be requesting for orders. So it depends on how many orders will be put, tenders will be floated, and our participation and getting competitive and under competitive bidding.
Okay, understood. And my last question is on the CapEx. So, a previous participant mentioned that we have planned around 1,000 crore of CapEx. Can you say over the years, how many years over, like, are we going to use this 1,000 crore CapEx?
Yes.
Hello.
Testing is expected around 2 to 3 years, and after that it takes any plant like the stabilization period. As VPM has already mentioned in the previous call, the results, the fruits of these investments can be expected from year four.
Right. And what is the total CapEx amount we are spending in FY 2027?
FY 27 will be less, because see, actually what happens that now the board has considered the proposal, and we have to work on
this year, 27.
This 1,000 crores will not turn into the 1,000.
No, 1,000 not there. What we are going to do, CapEx in 27.
Maybe we may be around, we may enter capex like last year amount only, around 50 to 60 crores normal capex only. Because
this is
project.
Right, this will be majorly for the maintenance capex, right?
Yeah, majority is like that only.
Okay, okay, understood. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sheetal Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Sheetal Shah, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, little louder, please.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Sir, two, three con call back, sir. Some participants have highlighted that for India, we will require at least 4 or 5 types of Midhani. We are in such a niche segment and the total addressable market is so huge. At that time, sir, you had told that we will require capex for that, a huge capex to break our normal revenue target of 10 to 15 or 15 to 20%. You will need a board approval or government will also send some paper for that. So any progress on that side, sir?
Yeah, actually, okay, the point is basically replacing some aging equipment so that our yield and productivity will improve, okay, and we'll also be more, competitive. So a thought has come and we have proposed it to ministry and we are in the process of getting evaluated, okay. And soon we will be coming back to you with a news. And now I am not in a position to tell, but we'll get back to you with respect to our capex proposal.
Yes, sir. That is the thing most urgent for us, sir. Unless
yes, I agree with you. Capex. And it will give, as you told, it will give a very strong push for us. So our ministry also is pushing and we are also very keen. And soon we should be coming back with the good news.
Sir, any timeline, sir, within this financial year, any timeline, sir, do you expect?
No, you know the formal process of putting the board and getting approval, all these things will be there. So once things are through, then we will come back. I think now I'm not able to tell you, but we'll get back to you.
We will wait for that, sir, very eagerly. And the
yeah, we are also eagerly waiting to tell. Yeah,
yes, good. Sir, because, sir, that is very much needed, sir. If we want to go to the next level of our journey, high growth journey, without that land bank, that bank, which metal bank you did, that was good, very good.
Yeah.
Two points are the main thing, metal bank and the capex.
Yes.
Both will help us to go in a, we will go in a very high type of growth, sir. And sir,
Italji, I can tell you that anticipating the kind of stability for raw materials as well as improving our productivity and improving the yield only, these two things were conceived. And already one we are implementing, by next quarter we will be implementing the metal bank and soon we should get back to you with some news about this one. Okay, it needs proper approval. So once we are through, we'll share.
We shareholder will eagerly wait for that, sir. Thank you very much, sir. And sir, one more question, sir. The recent approval which we got, sir, can you tell what is the TAM for it, total addressable market of that, and in which way, and how much, what type of revenue growth do you expect from this?
Any, it is 400 is it is a certification. And it is, first of all, we are very proud that this certificate has been received by Midhani. And all our customers, like normally these testing charges are very, testing type is very critical and the facilities required for doing that kind of testing are also very innovative. So Midhani has all those facilities. If you ask me what kind of money we'll generate out of that, I think we have to see how much, how many people will approach us. So probably a couple of quarters later now we'll be knowing how much revenue we'll be generating. So for the time being, today onwards we can do testing for the information. If somebody is approaching, all our facilities are open and we'll be able to conduct the test and give certification for which we'll be charging. We don't need anybody else's approval. Midhani itself can issue a certificate.
Okay, sir. Okay. Nice to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ranjit Shivaram with Mahindra Manulife Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats.
Hello.
On good growth. Hello.
Yeah.
Hi sir. Congrats on good growth. Just wanted to.
Thank you.
Sir, get your sense on this. Last time you mentioned regarding this AMCA development work.
Yeah.
So what kind of opportunity will that provide for us as a company, this AMCA development?
Yeah, with respect to AMCA, there are some development orders from the agency, okay, which is now developing, that is ADA. So we are, because these are all new materials, okay, these grades have to be established. They have to be established to the forms and shapes, whatever are going to be actually used in the program. So they have given some developmental orders. Only thing is, production orders we will be anticipating from them. So already we have completed some of the work, some things are going on. These are all special titanium alloys of certain thicknesses where properties are very difficult. So they have given order, and once they are through with this, once we develop and supply these materials as per their specification, we expect bulk orders. So that is one. And that is the question, no? Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so what can be the likely size of this opportunity?
Opportunity, it all depends on the program and its approval. So once their program is approved, we will be getting, because it has been developed with our facilities, we expect the order to be given to us. So it depends on program timelines.
Okay. And sir, we get to hear a lot regarding nuclear and SMR, and even there is been talk that we might also try to do something like a molten salt kind of an alternative which requires specialized ceramic tubing and all.
Okay.
In that, what is the kind of opportunity we address?
Okay, there are different types of reactors, and molten salt is one of the types. But to mention to you with respect to the nuclear program, Midani stands first in the supply of materials for all the nuclear power plants. And we supplied a number of things, including the one recently, that prototype phosphator reactor, which has undergone critical. We are expecting many more orders, because that now it has attained criticality. We expect more orders. Not only that, government's push towards the 100 gigawatt of energy by 2047, that also is push. I mean, we are expecting many orders. Currently, we are executing some orders for steam generator tubes, and we continue to do, because all their grades have been developed at Midani, and we expect all the nuclear power grades to come to us.
Okay, so this molten salt ceramic tube piping, that also will come under our...
Yeah, yeah, any metallic material that goes into the nuclear reactor, not the ceramic components, that we will be making. And I mean, what I say is, if it is a tubular product, the raw material required for the for making the tubes, we will be supplying. Most likely NSC, if it is taking that, we will be supplying the ingot, that is the mother hollows it is called. So those mother hollows we will be making here, and we will be giving, or the ingots for making the tubing will be from us.
Okay, and this recently there is this news regarding RAL Rolls Royce JV. So any opportunity in Midani in that, is it certified?
Okay, no, that's a very good initiative, and we only feel that as a lead supplier of strategic materials in this country, Midani will have 100% opportunity for all materials. Whoever is making the materials, we expect the metallic material supply from Midani. Certainly we'll work out.
Okay, and sir, lastly, with this banking of metals, how much of our working capital can get released?
No, this is not, there is no, it is not in Midani books. Actually, it is Midani operated, customer owned. So it doesn't come into our books at all.
Okay, so it won't impact our, release our working capital.
It will not be impacting us at all. It is just we are storing their material in our campus for melting.
Okay, and we have a huge inventory of this scrap titanium. So what is our plan to dispose this off and release those inventories and liquidate them? Any particular plan?
Yeah, this is actually, if you technically speak, this is not a scrap, it is a gold mine. Okay, I should say that scrap is a gold mine. And because you need scrap for melting. Okay, and scrap is a part of our process. So a certain amount of scrap is always used for melting of any material. Unless it is for extreme cases like Gaganyaan and all, where customers ask for 100% of virgin material. So unless it is, we are sure that the scrap is not useful, we can sell. And since Medani is making large number of grades, so scraps of different types are available. So wherever we feel that a certain, a critical quantity is exceeded, we will sell. Last year also we sold, so we reduced our scrap inventory by 75 crores. So we want to bring it down and keep it at an optimal level. So it is our decision to sell or keep it, depending on the likely orders to get. Suppose we are likely to get some order where good amount of scrap is there, that is good for us, so that we can just melt that and convert into raw material. You know the kind of interest that is there under National Critical Minerals Mission. So raw materials are becoming difficult and scrap is the gold mine. So this is the policy. Where it is essential, we will sell. Otherwise, we will try to use it in our production process. So we will arrive at some kind of an optimal level that is the minimum to be maintained for maybe one production cycle or something.
Okay. And sir, the industry is coming out with this EBCHR, which will be using scrap titanium to process titanium. So will that be an opportunity for us to liquidate some of our scrap titanium because they will use that?
No, what happened, Medani manufactures more than 20 types of titanium grades. It's not one or two. If we need to melt there, no, you need more quantity actually. Here for this every engine program or aircraft program, there are different type of grades and each one is very small, small quantity. So like that only we are maintaining actually. It is not commercial only like grade 5 only we are manufacturing, means that type of input possible and can be melted.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you and all the
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amitabh Vastya with Southern Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah.
Sir, first of all, congratulations for the good growth in the company.
Thank you.
But my question is related to one breakthrough which we achieved in the field of metallurgy with single pistol blade for super alloy. Sir, what are our plans and when we are developing this, do we intend to do the same for titanium also, and how super alloy market with respect to where this will be going to be used? Are we developing it for Anka or Kaveri engine? I just wanted to understand the business prospect of this development and for further development is possible into titanium side also. That is the question.
Yeah, if you look at any aero engine needs a blade, okay, every aero engine, it is having multiple stages and each stage, each disc will have blades to, disc. So it doesn't matter whether we are doing for any of the engines, AMCA or existing fighter aircraft or any engine. And these blades are typically classified into two areas. One is a high temperature area, another is a low temperature area. High temperature area we use super alloys and low temperature area we use titanium alloys. So, and the grades also vary differently. There are multiple grades of materials in both titanium and super alloys. And Medani has capability to make the single crystal feedstock. Okay. So this is a very, very complex step and where the chemistry of the blade material has to be controlled in very, very tight ranges and with controlled impurities and gas content, and these things have very, very specialized elements like rhenium and ruthenium, okay, so which will give the high temperature properties. So those grades are Medani has melted and already supplied, and in probably if you remember in the last quarter or previous quarters, we have already told that we have made for the first time some of the very novel grade of these materials for fighter aircraft program. So we'll continue to work with our customers and we'll see what kind of grades are in demand, and we are looking for such orders where both titanium and super alloy blade materials can be melted and supplied to our customers.
Okay, so just to rephrase my question with respect to the business potential, which program we are more aligned to, although we are capable to supply all kind of, but where we see a proper business possibility in the next 2 years, if you can.
Yeah, it depends on the requirement. End users put capability exists, so we look forward. We are also looking for AMCA type of things. Once it is approved and it is at the design stage, we will be ready to supply these materials.
Okay. And in the second question with respect to titanium landscape, are we buying titanium from Russia route, or where we get our raw material of titanium from the Russia?
Yeah, we import titanium from East European countries, our former Russian Federation. So countries from where we preferably do, because the quality and the system is aligned for melting from those titanium sponges and master alloys. So we import from, yes, those countries.
Okay, so we don't have any US kind of US risk in terms of source. If we source from Russia, then potentially USA can target us. Is there that a possibility also for since we are not into this supply chain, but is it theoretically possible also that US can dictate where to buy titanium from? Because they are dictated for their supply chain, like Boeing and others.
We are not having any issue with titanium sponge import as on today. We can import freely. We don't have any supply chain constraints for importing from East Europe, and we can see. I mean, it is all depends on there are good titanium mills in US also, but we don't have any issue currently with the import from the East Europe.
Okay. So one final question: what, since we are developing so many things and too many developments are happening, from management, my question is that where we are focusing on, like top 2-3 things which are there in our mind, because as a investor we sometimes lose track of what actually is going to matter for us for next 2-3 years. So if you can guide us that where Medani is looking at for growth, like Metal Bank is something which has recently come up, but is this a main agenda for the management to focus as well?
If I understand your question correctly, from where you are importing your raw materials, am I correct?
No, sir. My question is not on that. My question is that since we have been developing lot many metals and alloys and different grades. So as an investor, my question is that where we are focusing on in terms of whether we are targeting titanium growth or growth will come from this metal bank, or some other super alloy where we are focusing on. So if you can categorize for us that this is the area where we are focused on for growth in next 2-3 years. So that's
okay. We got okay.
Now, actually, you know, there is a lot of programs are coming out from the Ministry of Defense for like AMCA and many other engine programs. There are a lot of things are there. All those programs, now the country is expecting the material will be made within the country. So now first they see that Medani is the one who can manufacture immediately super alloy and titanium with the involvement of airworthiness agencies. So presently Medani concentrating on all those materials, means super alloy and titanium only, to manufacture, develop and supply to this program. Then maybe subsequently we will take up OEMs and whoever people are coming for them also will be supplying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Jain with Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for opportunity again. So my question is on export side. So just wanted to understand how much the contribution of the export currently, and what kind of the demand and the order book you are looking in export business? If you can provide next 2 to 3 years vision from the export, what's your plan?
Okay, with respect to exports, around 10% of our total turnover we wanted to export. Current year sales is 33 crores till now, and we have an open order book of about 25 crores. And certainly we'll be making more exports than last year. That is our perception. We plan to export about 10% of total turnover.
And how much incremental revenue we can get from this S-400 defense business?
S-400 is only testing. If GE puts us order, because we are also having testing thing, if they give order, definitely it will be more. We are in talks with multiple people, and very conservatively I am putting 10%.
10%. And for the next 3 to 4 years, what's your target for exports, sir?
Yeah, we can increase at least 15 to 20% on 10%. Yeah, that 100 crore, 100, 120 crore. It will be increasing at least at the rate of 10 to 15% in the coming 3 to 4 years.
Got it, sir. And on the RM mix, what was the mix for the virgin versus scrap materials in the first quarter versus the last quarter? And do you have any plan for a dedicated scrap processing or recycling plant to improve the cost efficiency?
See, the percentage of scrap versus virgin raw material depends on the grade and customer. For some of the customers like human space flight and some very, very critical engine parts, we are not allowed, I mean, we are supposed to supply with virgin material. Okay. So where scrap addition is not possible as per customer requirement. If customer specification says that scrap can be used, we are ready to melt with 100% scrap. But rarely in aerospace and the kind of customers we service, we are allowed to use more than 50%. So 50 to 60 is the normal percentage of scrap that can be done. So accordingly, pricing will be done. With respect to scrap, yes, whatever materials we produce and whatever scrap is generated, we'll be segregating, cleaning and keeping it. Sometimes we melt and keep it also, so that identity and all will be preserved. So we have a very good scrap management policy. We have very good method by which we can segregate and identify and keep it with all the tagging. So this is the policy that we have been following up.
Okay, so do you have any scrap recycling plant? Are you looking for that?
No, scrap recycling plant, okay, we are not looking, but there are some idea on recovery of some metals from scrap, which we are working with some academic institutes like NFTDC. But it is, not to that commercial level. The amount of scrap generated is high because we produce a lot of materials. We have to see how it is, whether it is really worth converting from scrap to metal, how economics work, we have to see. But otherwise, we are having some MOU with the NFTDC to extract the pure elements from scrap.
Got it, sir. And sir, in the last con call you had mentioned that around 8,000 crores worth of titanium alloys, super alloys and the steels are still imported. So just wanted to understand, what are the best barriers to replacing these imports? Is it price or quality certification, capacity or customer qualification? I just wanted to understand, what is your plan to leverage this opportunity and make your market share?
Yeah, people import, this is whatever data is shared is from Exim data that is available in open source. Okay, so there are imports. Basically, imports are coming because there may be some technology transfers and the customer, end customer may be compelled to buy material from the approved sources. So that is how materials may be entering Indian market. Okay. So almost all these grades, whatever I mentioned, that 8,000 crore are in the portfolio of Midani, and Midani is capable of making all these materials with the resources available. So, but sometimes the customers may not be coming to us because they are supposed to, their approval source, no, because this is an aerospace company and all. So we are looking for this certification only for that purpose. Once we have these certifications from premium or top tier aerospace companies, instead of importing, our domestic importers can come to Medani and take the material. So that is the whole idea. So the idea of getting this certificate, whatever I told, NADCAP certification, what we got, or whatever we are currently making, NAS 400 and 10, that certification of our teams is basically to get the approvals from those NADCAP certification or S400 or certifications for other aerospace manufacturers, so that we can ask for domestic suppliers to give orders for Medani, procure material from us directly rather than import.
Great insight, sir. My last question is on that. If you say that in before FY24, you see a margin of around in the range of 24 to 26%. In last couple of years, we have seen some decline in the margin. So
yeah.
Just wanted to understand when can we start to secure 25 to 28% kind of the margin again. Because that, as you said, that mix is started to improve from here on, especially on the titanium side, you have increased your production level also. So just wanted to understand what are the key constraints right now and when can we expect a margin of around 22 to 25%?
See, it all depends on the margins depend on order book. Okay. Margins depend on what kind of material we are selling in a quarter. Medani books high strength steels, that strategic steels, super alloys and titanium alloys. Basically, we are having three product categories. And margins vary depending on the kind of category we are currently operating. So, for example, the margins in super alloys may be little higher or titanium alloys may be little higher. So, when we are executing in one particular quarter or a financial year, margins may be looking higher. So when we are executing steels, it may be little lower, but we have to do all the orders. So this margin varies from time to time. But at the same time, in this particular quarter, Q1 of 26-27, we had issues with both raw material hike because of these Mideast crisis and LPG crisis. So there will be some differences. But barring these things, that percentages depend on the product mix that we are manufacturing in that particular quarter.
What is there any impact of the increase in the freight cost because you import most of the raw materials? So are you able to pass the freight cost to the end?
Freight cost.
Yes.
No. Whether we are booking in fixed term, sometimes occasionally it happens that freight cost was high, but these things being fixed contract prices, we cannot expect customer to pay. Okay, but sometimes we are forced to absorb. But overall, we have to see.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's all my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Ajinkya Jadhav with Chris Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So if we look at our previous order book, it was more tilted towards the space sector and currently more on the defense sector. So wanted to know, like, of the 2,300 order book currently that we have, how much of that is nomination-based? Like, what has been the trend of the nomination-based order as a total order book?
I think to answer your question, we are not getting anything on nomination. Okay. Earlier it used to be the trend. Now everything is competition only. We are getting in competition mode only.
Okay. So that's the reason, like, the margins, the early participant asked, like, used to be about 25% and now it will be around 20% going ahead.
Yeah, yes. Could be, yeah.
20% margin is Q1 is just because of these two reasons which are discussed. But otherwise, even despite the hit from the raw materials at 14 crore and the LPG at around 5 crore, also we, in absolute terms, the EBITDA is increased. The percentage with respect to the sales is slightly dropped and it is at 20% EBITDA level. As against 23% which are expected, which is very nominal, and we are sure that we will be covering that in Q2 and Q3.
Okay, got it. Yeah, the other question is related to the fact that earlier we were occupied with the domestic orders from the strategic sectors from the government. And do we have the appetite and ambition to serve the global OEMs as we got for the GE? So are we taking any strong steps in that direction? Like how much time it will take for us to serve the global OEMs like Rolls-Royce, Boeing, Airbus?
Yeah, we are, see, the certification process by those OEMs which you have mentioned, it is a time-taking process. Okay, we have been working with them. Though multiple times these people come and visit the plant, they will audit our facilities, they will audit our records, and they suggest some modifications. And we are working with them to get orders for exports. So certainly we will be sharing news once we get orders with global OEMs.
So like how much time, maybe say 3-4 years to
onboard? Within that we should get, before that.
Okay,
maybe
okay.
A year or so we should be able to get some approvals from exports. We are in the process, so we are positive.
Okay, and the last question is regarding the aluminum plant. So earlier we said that we have shelved the plan for the aluminum plant which was with the JV. More than 1,000 crore capex. So is that still alive or like we have completely shut that plan?
No, that particular proposal has been recommended to be closed by both Binani and Nalco boards, and now it is in the process of closing because certain approvals are required from ministry. Our plant will not be coming up, so formal approval needs to be taken so that we can share that news, but we are not going ahead with that plant.
So in the today's con call, we mentioned about rolling out the first aluminum alloy. So like
I got it. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify. See, there are two things. The plant that we were supposed to put at Nellore under Utkrishta Aluminium Dhatu Nigam Limited, that is what I told. It is going to be closed. But what I told is, Binani is having a white plate mill. Okay, and country white plates are being imported. If you look at the aluminum plates of 2000 series or 7000 series, which are used by the aircraft program or launch vehicle program by ISRO, they are all imported. So there is a demand that we should indigenize, because now you are seeing the supply chain constraints. So one of the idea is, why not use our white plate mill for rolling? So there are facilities for casting the ingots within the country. There are companies which are making directly chilled cast billets. So those billets were supplied to us, and using our facilities, using our white plate mill, we have forged and rolled in that mill to give rolled products. So this is an alternate method. It is not that we are going to melt, roll and do, that is an elaborate plant at Nellore. We are only trying to do, convert the material, convert the cast ingot into a plate which can be subsequently used by people. So this is what we have done, and that is what I was mentioning about the first commercial order for rolling of aluminium.
Got it. The final question from my end is that we are seeing a huge push from the government for the aerospace sector indigenization. Even the Indigo asking the engine manufacturers to put up their MRO shop in India. So particularly for you, what will be the, you can say, the incentive or the push given from the government to, you can say, the indigenize the materials, if you can explain?
Okay. See, Binani, as you know, is capable of making any of the super alloy and titanium, and as well as steel. There are certain steel parts also in aircraft engine. So all three materials, all three grades of materials or groups of materials can be made in Binani, point number one. Second thing is, we are, as you told, that a lot of push is there for indigenization. As an offset policy, companies will be forced to buy from India because they have to source materials from India now. So Binani is in the front, we are in the queue in the first place. So we will be getting orders. Inevitably, they have to come to us because we are the leading aerospace manufacturer supplier. So it is only the matter of from concept to reality. So we are ready to take up orders. We are ready. Our capacities are available, and we are also looking as eagerly as you, and we are also looking for orders to execute.
Got it. So does that mean the private players in India, which are in the operating in the aerospace sector and supplying to government, maybe say MOD or the aerospace, so will they be forced to buy a certain proportion from the Adani, which is currently imported?
No, we do not know, but definitely we are looking for very good customers, very good volumes at very good price, and we hope we will be able to get a part of the significant part of the cake that we are envisaging.
Best wishes, Murthy sir. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you. I think we had multiple question answers, and we are only happy to share the data with you. Barring certain supply chain disruptions with respect to LPG and raw materials, we think the situation will stabilize in the coming quarter, and we will be coming back to normalcy with respect to that, and we will continue to grow in good numbers, and we will be very happy to take new orders. And as I shared in my introductory thing, we are going for a good number of certifications also. All these things should help us a very healthy execution of orders, and we are also looking for increasing our order book. So probably when we meet during next quarter, I think we'll have very good information, and thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.